have a family, and all of those things are a blessing, but it's that we would live for Jesus, and that we would leave a testimony, and that we would build up treasures in heaven forever. We know that verse says, don't build up treasure on earth where moth and rust will take it away and it will all fade, but lay up treasures in heaven where they will last forever. And so that's what we thought about and that's what we talked about. But this morning what we're going to do is, and I thought about a few different things, and I felt conscious about this, and I prayed about it for a few days and just wanted to make sure God's heart was in it. But here's what he said. He said, so many of us spend our lives either in education, the first 20 odd years of our lives in education, which takes up pretty much the majority of our day, if you're there, which you should be. And then after that, we graduate to work, which seems like a breakthrough, but very quickly we realize, oh my goodness, work. And it just goes on and on and on. And here's what I find about work, is that when you're coming up through education, you can't wait to work because you want to have money. And then you get to work and you realize, I'm only 20 and I've got to go to about 65. Oh my goodness, I've got to do this for maybe half a century. It's horrendous. And we can feel stuck. And the second what I thought about is that here's what study shows, that if we're not sleeping, the 50% of the rest of the time, we're working or we're in education. And so what has God got to say about this? And what is God trying to encourage in this? Because a lot of times, maybe you're like me, I find myself in the workplace feeling a bit stuck. Now, the minute I've only got myself to blame because I work for myself, so if I feel stuck, I've got to look in the mirror and talk to myself. But we can feel stuck in work, like I have to do this, I've got to do this, got to provide for my family. And we go through all these different scenarios that give us hope to keep on going. But this morning, God wants to give us hope, maybe that's greater than what we've thought of before, to make us realize that he's teaching us and he's equipping us in all of those things. So this is what we're going to think about this morning. Ever felt stuck in work, or if you're not at work yet, maybe in college or university? 50% of our week in life is in work. So it's a massive, important part of our lives. And God has a lot of things to say about it. And we're going to look about some of them this morning. And here's probably the two basic hopes that keeps you going in your work. Maybe you're in a dream job, which is fantastic. But if you're not, which is probably the majority of us, or if you're in education, then there's probably two main things that keeps us going. The first one is just one of these, you need it, money. No matter how you do it, you need money. Everybody needs money, need money to buy things, need money to survive. Maybe you want to go on a holiday, you need money. And so if maybe you're making a lot of money, then you want to make more money. Maybe you're making no money, it keeps you going. If you're in university, as I said earlier, what kept us going was that one day we're going to make some money and pay off all this debt. And then you realize it takes longer than you think. And you get more debts. And if you're at work, then you're hoping that, you know, I'm going to get promoted. I'm going to keep going. And before you know it, one of our main hopes in the workplace is money. Because who can get around it? We need it. And then the second one is this. Is that maybe if you're not in your dream job, that one day you're going to get your dream job. So if you're in education, well, one day it's going to be all worth it. I'm going to become that person I want to become. I'm going to do that thing. Maybe if you're in the workplace at the moment, well, one day I'm going to get to the job that I really want. Or maybe you got to the job that you really wanted, and then you realized, I don't really want this anymore. I want something else. I mean, when we all grew up, if you were like me, what you wanted to be was a footballer. After a while, you realize that was not going to happen. That was not going to happen. They just didn't want us or something. No, we weren't good enough. We couldn't. There's only a few who can ever be able to do that, or whatever the dream is that you've got. But here's the thing, the despondency can sink in, because if you can never get to your dream job, and if the two big hopes in your workplace and education are money and the dream job, and if you get neither of those, what are you going to do? You can find yourself in a place where you're despondent, discouraged, and it just becomes, we've used the term, a rat race. We just keep going every day, just it's drudgery, it's painful, it's hopeless, and nothing ever seems to want to change, and nothing ever seems to change. And yet there's got to be something more than that. There has to be. Because God didn't set us up to fail. And of course, it tells us that in the beginning, when God did all his work, he said it was very good. So God says work is good. But of course, there are pains to work, and there are trials to work, and there are challenges, and so we've got to get real about it. But I think what we're realizing very quickly, or what we will realize, or if we haven't, we will soon, is that work is not our be-all and end-all, even though we need to be in it a lot of the times. So what's the more? And what are the things that God's trying to search our heart with? And what are the things that God's trying to reveal to us? Here's a verse I want to share this morning. It's in 1 Peter chapter 9, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen race. I think this is where our dissatisfaction comes from, because we're having to work. We don't maybe necessarily always want to work, but we're having to. And if we ever get to our dream job, then we're looking for retirement to hope that someday it's going to get better. But here's really what's going on in our hearts. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at that. That you may proclaim the excellencies. You can't even say that word. So it's like it's such a big word. Excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What those verses are telling us is this, is that we were made for so much more. So here's the good news this morning. Your work is never going to fully satisfy you. So the more and more and more that you go after, of course, do it for God, but it will never truly satisfy. So there's got to be something more. There's got to be bigger purpose. And the good news this morning is this, is that God is not limited to church. He's not limited to a worship song. He's not limited to your breaks at lunch where you go spend time with them. He has a purpose and a calling for you in your workplace, even in the worst ones, even in education, even in school that maybe you're hoping to get out of. Most of those guys are in there, but you're hoping to get out of it, or maybe university, or whatever it is. God has purpose and he has plans. And here's the good news. He has something for you to do there for his glory and for his kingdom. And so this morning, we're going to lift our gaze a tiny bit higher, and we're going to look at some of the things that we're yearning for. Here's three major things that we're yearning for, and then we're going to look at four takeaways this morning. Four things that we're yearning for. Number one, science tells us this, psychologists tells us this, we're all looking for security. What's the main reason that we work? One, security. Want security for our families. Want peace of mind that we're going to have enough money for a rainy day. Want to make sure that we can keep the roof over our heads. They're all phrases that we use, all things that we think about when we want to quit or we want to move on. We say, but I have to because I've got to provide security. We're all looking for security. Who provides ultimate security? Jesus. That's where our faith is. Our faith is in him. He provides ultimate security. So even this morning, if you're between jobs and you haven't got the job you wanted or you're not in the job at all, we've got to have security on him because if our hope is in the job, when the job goes, we're hopeless. And this morning, Jesus says, your hope can be in me. So even in the worst circumstances, whether in a job or out of a job, your hope is in me. And I provide your security. This is good news for him this morning. Second thing that we're all looking for is purpose and fulfillment. Purpose and fulfillment. And what I've found, and maybe you've found this, is that no matter how good the job is, it doesn't completely satisfy. It doesn't completely give us that purpose that we yearn for, that thing that we long for, because we are made for something greater. We are a holy priesthood. We are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are made for more. We're made for more things. And yet we know work is one of these things we have to do. And maybe the last thing, and maybe you can add to it even further, third thing, we want our lives to count for something. And this is sometimes when work starts to become really heavy and really tough going, where we're in a dead-end job, or we're in a dead-end position, or we're in education and we can't seem to get any light from it. We say, but how can my life count here? How can my life count? And this morning I want us to look at maybe different things or get a fresh perspective that even in the worst of circumstances, your life can still count. Because the number one thing that Jesus loves is all of us. And as long as you're around people, or as long as you're around someone that you can make a difference with, your life will count in incredible ways. What are we looking to do? We're looking to call people out of darkness into marvelous light. In the same way, that is what we have received. We have been called out of darkness into marvelous light. We have marvelous light to share. And it doesn't distinguish when we get to work or education. It only should come alive even more because it's where we spend the majority of our time during the day, our best hours. And so this morning, I want to encourage you with that. God says this morning that he is with us and he is through us and he is using us in our workplace. But there is a tension. There is a tension there. There's an attention in the workplace with the employees that we work with the people that we have to interact with the things that we have to do. And it's not easy, and God knows that, but he wants to reveal there's more purpose. There are greater plans that he has for us. I watched a documentary a few years ago. I want to share a story. Let me try and illustrate the point how there's so much more in our work than we think. And there's a documentary based on the Philippines, and so that's what perked up my interest because we've been to the Philippines three different times to do outreach and do missions over there. A lot of you guys have been there with us. And it's a wonderful place. If you've never been there, it is absolutely amazing. The people are amazing. Just such a beautiful country in many different ways. And they're hungry for the things of God. And we got to share, and we saw so many people saved over the few years that we went. But they did a documentary one time, and if you've been to the Philippines, or if not, you might have seen it on TV, they have these buses. And so they did a swap from a London bus driver who drove a red bus to one of the buses over in the Philippines. But the buses in the Philippines are not like the buses we have. They're not like TransLink. They're not like the red bus ones. They're different. They're called jeepneys. So where they come from World War II, whenever we were over trying to take over the whole world. You know us, the Americans, trying to take over the whole world, setting people free, winning the battles. But there was these jeeps that were left behind after the war. That, what are we going to do with them? So we took them over to the Philippines, and they started to refit them out and turn them into buses. And now when you see that, they don't look like war trucks anymore. They're just crazy. They've got all these different color schemes. They've got all these different colors. They all look unique. And you get on these jeepneys and you travel all around the cities and all around the country to get to the places you want to go. And so the guy says, like, yeah, sure, we'll do a life swap. We'll do a job swap and we'll go work over there. And it was fun. It was amazing to see. Of course, you have a guy coming from the Philippines over to London. He's like, wow, London, this is incredible. We've got red buses. Wow, I've never seen things like that. And then the guy from here or from London goes over, and he's like, well, I've never seen buses like this before. And even to try and turn them on was like was an art system. There's rubber bands, ropes, you know, there's all sorts of things to make these things turn on. They've been from the 40s, and they're still keeping these things going. And then even to make them drive, I don't know if you've ever driven, I have not, but you had to double clutch them all the time. They were constantly stalling. If you didn't just get the pedals just right, you were always stalling. And yet after a week or so, after the week, the guy finally got driving this thing, finally got doing this thing. But the really interesting part about it was this, and this was the bit that made the whole documentary interesting, was it wasn't so much about the job swap. You know, everybody can learn how to drive a bus given enough time. They both had experience of just swapping to different vehicles, trying to do it in different work, in a different land type of thing, different obstacles, different things to think about. But what the real part was interesting was when they started to talk about their personal lives. Because when we go to work, we don't become robots. We're still personal. We're still human beings. We still have issues. We still carry the pains of before and after and during. We carry all of those things with us. And they started talking about their lives. And they said they started to exchange stories. And everything looked the same until they came to the part of, like, why do you have to work so many long hours? This is what the guy asked them. So why do you have to work so many long hours? He said, sir, I have to work so many long hours because I need to provide for my family. And in his mind, he was like, yeah, but you could probably take a bit less money to have a bit more time with your family, and that'll be more beneficial. That's the things that we think about. And he said, sir, I would love to do that, but I'd need to work 24 hours in this job to try to make ends meet for my family. And even if I did that, I would never have enough to provide for them. And it was just at that moment that this sinking feeling came over, and he realized, wow, I feel stuck in my job, but his job is just another level. What he faces is just another thing. His job is about battling for just the basic necessities of life for his family. My job is just not my preference, but I do it. You know, I'm providing as well, but it's more a preference than a must-do. His was a must-do. And I felt in those moments, I was thinking about it this week and just praying about it, I thought, God, you've got to remind us of the blessing as well in our workplace. You've got to remind us of the blessing that it is to be able to work and the ability that we have to work. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. We're going to talk about how sometimes work's a big hassle, but also let's remember the blessing and the benefit that it is that we are able to work and that we have a workplace that has hopefully some kind of a positive salary and a positive working conditions and good things that are for us. We have blessings, and we have blessings that we must be thankful for. But here's a few things I want us to think about this morning as we're thinking about our workplace and thinking about what is God doing bigger in that than I can see. I want us to read Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read just a few verses, 2 down to verse 5. Here's what it says. And we boast in the hope. This is Paul speaking, saying about what we boast in. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's what we boast in. But then it goes on to say this, but here's the not that so nice part. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here's what we've got to know, and here's the encouragement for your heart this morning. If you're in a place that's teaching you to persevere, God's working there. If you're in a place where it's not so nice and it's not always easy, trust that God is with you. If you're in a place where you're feeling a bit squeezed and a bit pressurized, know that God is still with you and he's working on your behalf and something is changing inside of you. Look at that. He's going to produce perseverance in suffering. He's going to lead perseverance to better character, and that character is going to bring you to a fuller realization of the hope that you've got in Jesus. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. And so when we're in that environment that we don't desire, and we're in that place where we don't want to be, remember that God's doing something greater inside of you. There are changes that He has to make inside of us. There are things that we must learn, maybe for the dream job, or maybe for the destiny, or maybe for the calling that we are yearning for, and for the things that God is leading us to. But there are moments in our current workplace, there are times in our current workplace that nothing is being wasted, and God is producing good things in it. Here's what I believe that's coming across very clearly from these verses this morning, is that God has purpose in everything. That even in those difficult seasons, God is growing us. And so maybe you're in a place of like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Or I'm in a workplace, I just want to get away from it. In due season, that's going to happen. I'm sure. We can't work forever. We've got to move on at some point. Either you're going to quit, or you're going to move on, or you're going to get a new job, or you're going to retire, whatever it is. It's going to come to an end. But during that season, don't lose all hope. God is working, and He's producing something new in you. He is changing you. Here's what I thought. If we always do the things that we like, how will we ever learn perseverance? I think we'd all agree that in life we need to understand perseverance. It's one of those things, it's a quality, it's a skill that we need to acquire, because life is going to come with many different challenges, it's going to come with many different storms. And what is it coming to do? To test our faith, to test our resolve. And what we're going to have is great perseverance. And this is what God promises here. In the midst of our sufferings, He will encourage and He will increase great perseverance. And out of that, more will come. More will come. Character and hope. So don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed when those trials come and we're not doing all the things that we want to do, because God is producing new things inside of me. Here's what I've learned in some of the trials that I've faced in the workplace. I've been blessed in so many different ways, but here's what I've realized. I've learned to press on in difficult times. Whenever you're in a position that you don't want to be in, whenever you're in education, maybe you want to move on from it, maybe you're in a place of, I'm looking for a job and I can't find one, or maybe you're in a job but you want a better one, here's what I've learned, is to just keep going sometimes. You just got to keep going. I think some of us have learned that along the way. Sometimes you just got to keep going. What it teaches us is to not quit. That in the midst of those seasons, I'm going to keep reminding myself that there's something better here. That there's something greater at play. That God's producing something inside of me. And it's in those moments that hopefully keeps us encouraged. Now, I'm not saying that there are times when we get despondent and we're like, I'm just out of here. But hopefully, very quickly, soon after, we'll realize, but God is encouraging me. He is doing something inside of me in my life. Nothing is being wasted. When I learned not to quit whenever things became uninteresting. I think this is one of these things where you need to learn it, because whenever you're younger, you're used to getting the things that you want, or things that work out the way you want them to be, and I'm not interested in this, not interested in that, I'm just going to do this instead. But I think very quickly what you realize, you get into the workplace, you're going to do an awful lot of things you're not interested in, but you're just going to have to do them, because there's greater purpose in it. Not only have you a boss to work for, not only have you a family to provide for, but you realize that life is more than just about everything pleasing you. There are bigger things at stake, there are bigger things at play. And I want to encourage you this morning. What are the things that you're learning? Because if everything's frustration, if everything's complaining, then we may be missing out on the things that God wants to teach us and wants to equip us with for the days ahead. I learned to work harder and to trust in God more. Here's what we probably all have to learn at some point, if we haven't learned it already, that we're going to have to learn to work harder sometimes. Just to put our heads down and to keep going. We have to just put our heads down and just keep going, because there's something we just got to get through. There's battles that we have to face, and they're in our workplace just as much as they're in our family. They're in our workplace just as much as they're outside of our workplace. We sometimes have to just put our head down, not quit, and keep going. And what does it teach us? Perseverance. And that is a gift that God wants to place into our lives. Work is a huge part of our lives, but God is in it. And here's a couple of quick things before we move on to the next one. What I've seen God. God will use times when you're stuck to deepen your relationship with Him. How many times have we been in a working environment? Remember, it's a big part of our lives. We just want out of there. But if we can get past all of what's going on and we can sort of maybe look a little higher, then we'll realize, wow, God, I've got to press into You. I need You to be my help. Funny enough, this week the girls were doing some art and Jessica wrote something down, starting to be able to write big sentences and all this stuff. And she goes, whenever you're stuck in your work, pray to God. I'm like, I don't even know where that come from. But maybe it was just a picture in preparation for me sharing this weekend. And I thought, that's so important. And many times we'll be in our workplace and we have to pray. That is one of the best weapons that we have in our workplace. God is right there. He is able to move. We've got to pray. We've got to pray in those situations. Maybe it's a job interview. Maybe it's I'm looking for a job. Maybe it's I'm in a job. We've got to pray. God is right there with us, and He wants to shape us. He wants to mold us. And not only does He deepen our relationship, but He shapes our character. He shapes our character. Second thing this morning, quick thing, is that maybe you're in an environment where it's getting a bit dull. You know, sometimes we get in work in an environment where it gets a bit dull. I want to tell you about a dull situation. For a long number of years, what I had to do was lift eggs. Anybody ever lifted eggs before? So we had this hen house for years. 10,000 hens means you're going to get 10,000 eggs. That's not hard maths. And so every day you're going to have to lift these eggs. And so what we do is my sister would do half the house. I would do the other half of the house, and we would go for it. And the hens would be clocking away and talking away and singing away, and we'd talk away to them. We have to lift these eggs. And it would teach us a lot of things. Perseverance, talked about it already. You've got to do it every day. Here's what I found out about eggs. Hens like to lay eggs every day. So if you miss one day, you've got to do double the next day. If you miss that day, you've got to do triple. And it's no fun. We did that a few times. It was not fun. You got to just keep going. But here's what I realized very quickly or very early on, that if I wasn't going to think about something else or have something else going on in my head, this job is going to drive you mad because it's just relentless. It's just moving your hands. It's just eggs left, drop. It's over and over and over. It's very repetitive, very repetitive. Anybody in a very repetitive job, it's like that. But here's where I started to realize that I could disengage my brain and I could start thinking and dreaming about other things. I can start thinking and dreaming about other things. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're in an environment like that, but I tell you this, where did I get birthed? In the hen house. Can you believe it? When I was lifting eggs. When I was in a job that I didn't want to do, that I wanted out of, God was starting to shape me and He was starting to speak to me, and I was starting to think about all the things I wanted to do. And it's no joke. I was lifting eggs, but I was really thinking about today. I was thinking about the dreams. I was starting to wonder. Maybe you're like that in your workplace where you've been in the workplace and you're doing a job that's just over and over again. Maybe, I know it is, you know yourself. And if you want to, you can start to dream about the things that God has got. He starts to shape you, start to mold you. And all that was birthed in my heart led to things like today, when I was just doing a job over and over and over again. And what I'm encouraging with is this, is that even in dull places, even in jobs that are relentless, even in places that you just go on here every day, maybe you're going to work every day, you've got loads of time to think. Maybe you're going on the bus every day, you've got loads of time to think. Start thinking about the things. Start allowing the Lord to speak to you. Don't just get sucked into, this is just what I do, this is all I do, and I can't wait for a different day. If we wait for the different day, it might never come. It's in those moments that God will birth the things that He's calling us to do. Does anybody remember Joseph from the Old Testament? Joseph's life was crazy. It was crazy. I encourage you to go back and read it. Just roller coaster. His life just kept going up and down, up and down, up and down. But it was very clear that no matter where Joseph found himself, the Lord's hand was on him. And every place that he found himself, the Lord would cause him to rise. Do you remember when he was in a dull place? One time it was called prison. It was a dull place. He was an innocent man. He didn't want to be there. And yet God started to use him to decipher dreams, to interpret dreams. And before you know it, he leaves the prison and he comes before Pharaoh and he determines his dream. And before you know it, he's second in command of all of Egypt. In actual fact, he was number one because Pharaoh didn't want to know about it. He says, Joseph, you do all you need to do. And it started in a dull place. I want to encourage you this morning. It may be an environment you're not that fussed on. It may be a place that you just want to get out of. But rather than wasting all the time complaining and getting mad at everybody else and all that different things that you can do, What is God trying to show you? What is He trying to reveal to you? What are the dreams you're going to do? Start writing them down. Start putting them on your heart and just start believing for it. Start praying for it. That's what I did day after day, month after month, year after year. And so when it finally came, I was like, I know all of this. I've been dreaming about it for years. Literally dreaming about it for years. What are the things that God wants to birth in your heart, even in those dull places? Third thing, God's got a plan. I want us to read this in Proverbs 19:21. This is good news for us this morning. Proverbs 19:21. I think we've got the verse. But it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. Proverbs 19. Many are the plans in a man's heart. I've had many plans. Have you ever had many plans? Many, many, many plans. Here's the thing that I don't like about plans. When you have perfect plans in place, and then none of them work. Just none of them work. The whole thing just falls flat, and you're like, oh my goodness. Here's what I find, what I tend to do. If you're like this, just stay quiet. But I start to get mad that the plans don't work out. Why? Because I need the plans to work out. Because I've started to need the plans more than I need Him. And I'm like, wow. I started to get plans. God, if you could help me do this, and you could help me do that, God, and I could do this, Lord, then everyone would be great. And then God doesn't do it the way that I wanted him to. He doesn't do it the way that I need him to. And then I start to get mad. God, this is crazy. Are you even for me? And what's happened? My need of the plan has become greater than my need of him. And in those moments, he's just like, no, I'm not going to create that in your heart. I'm not going to create that in your life. We must submit our plans. We must submit our desires to him. We must submit the big dreams that we've got. Now, he's going to put dreams in your heart. But even in those moments, what we're learning to do day after day is surrender. It's like, God, I really want to do this. I feel like I'm called to this. I know that you've got this for me, but I'm going to surrender in the meantime. What is that called? Maturity. Maturity. There are times when we're in a place that we don't want to be. Many times. Joseph was in many places he didn't want to be. I'm sure you're in many places you don't want to be, whether it be in your workplace. I've been called for the stage, but I'm stuck packing shelves. You know what I mean? Or I've been called to do this, but I'm over here. Watch what God is teaching you over there to get you prepared for over here. Because if you don't learn it here, you'll never get there. It's just the way it is. And here's again what I've learned personally for my life is that all of the things, the experiences I've had in the last 35, 36 years, I needed every single one of them for my dream job, which is this. I've needed every single one of them for the call and the destiny that God's got for me. All the awkward conversations, the horrible phone calls, the stress in interviews, the dealing with people, all of the different things that you face, the monotonous just routines you've got to do day after day after day. We need all of those for life because guess what? We're not in heaven yet. And we say, will be, where everything will be perfect and everything will be great. But in life, it's not like that. So there are going to be many trials. There are going to be many things. What does James 1 tell us? Be of good cheer when you fall into all trials and temptations. Because God is with you. But now, why does James say that? Brother Jesus, why does James say that? He says that because he understands greater wisdom. That when you're going through the battles and the trials, that's when you're really growing. That's when you're really growing. I want to encourage you this morning. If you're going through a battle and a trial in your workplace and education in your life, that's when you're really growing. Now, the only thing that will stunt your growth is to start complaining towards God and to take your eyes off him. Understand and ask him to help you in those seasons. And I know you're going to get mad. I know you're going to get angry. And I know you're going to fall out with him sometimes. But don't leave it for too long. Because know this, that he is working and producing something deeper inside of you. You're just struggling to see it. But he knows what's going on. Here's what I find. When I've got good plans in place and they don't work out, I get frustrated. I get frustrated. Anybody ever got frustrated before? I get frustrated. And the moment I start to get frustrated and that frustration starts to grow, do you know what it turns to? Anger. I get mad. I get mad. It's terrible. Everybody's against me. Nobody's helping me. I get mad about everything. I don't want to do that. It's not good. It's not God. It's not what he intends. Whenever I get angry and frustrated, what do? I stop becoming my best and I start becoming my worst. And it's not the person you want to be around. It's not a person that's going to do great things. It's not a person that's going to live for God. It's not a person that's going to do the things that God has called us to. And so I encourage you this morning. You may have plans in your heart and God loves your plans. But know this, the Lord has purpose in everything. And so even when the plans aren't prevailing the way you want them to, know that the Lord has purpose in everything. And so to trust them. One of the biggest things that we need to learn in life is to trust Jesus, to trust the Lord wherever we find ourselves. What are you learning today that you're going to need later? That's always a great question to ask yourself. What are you learning today that you're going to need later? Because if you don't learn it today, what are you going to do when later comes? What are you going to do? So what are you learning? What's God trying to show you? All of life experiences are going to add up for your tomorrows. And then the final thing this morning, as we're getting near finished, a couple more minutes, is that even wherever you find yourself, maybe your work is like a swamp. You're like, oh my goodness, this place just stinks. I want out of here. Maybe your work is like that. Or maybe it's great. Maybe it's all great. And maybe that's half the battle as well. Or maybe it's just somewhere in between. Mostly it's always somewhere in between. It's all right. It's not too bad. Sometimes it's bad. But I can't just feel a bit stuck, a bit trapped. God wants to set us free from that. And how does he do that in all circumstances, in every situation? When we start to lift our gaze higher, when we set our sights higher, when we realize what we talked about at the very beginning, that this job is never going to truly satisfy, but don't get despondent about that. Just be wise about it. So you don't need to get frustrated now when it doesn't all work out because it's never going to satisfy you anyway. It's never going to fully fulfill you anyway. So there's got to be something more. So God, you've got more for me. Maybe we should all start to think this. We're like Jesus' secret agents in all of our workplaces. We're 007s. I'm here for something more. I'm here for something greater. And I know that's funny, I know that's humorous, but it would constantly remind us that this is not all that I'm about. I don't need to get frustrated and mad all the time. He's got people for me here. He's got things for me to do. He's got situations that I need to work out. Have you ever found this? That there'll be people along your path and there'll be things that you'll learn along your way that you think have no bearing for anything, and then years later you'll realize, oh, that's why I needed that. Or that's why that happened. Or this is where this came out. Because God is redeeming everything. So in those moments, how much more could we gain? How much more could we grow? How much more could we prepare our hearts and lives and our minds by looking a tiny bit higher in those difficult situations and fixing our eyes on greater things? There's no job that's going to truly satisfy. So we've got to be okay and look to do greater things in the middle of that. Here's what I love about this story. I want to share a quick story, and I'll finish off with one more verse. Then we're going to be done. Anybody remember this story? I think it's Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, and we have a wee song about it, a wee story, and they meet a lame man along the way. You know that one? He's a lame man. He's sitting at the gate. Beautiful. It's just a great name. And he's anything but beautiful because he wants to walk and he wants to leap and jump around and dance and everything else. And he's going to do that in a few moments' time. But here's some truth and here's some wisdom from the verse. Is that Peter and John, they come along and they meet this man. And for whatever reason, this is the day that they stop with him. Holy Spirit moves and they stop with him. They start to talk with him. And so the story goes that they spend time with him, they talk to him, and he asks them for something. Now, what does he ask them for? He wants money. This is what he's used to. He's used to begging at the gate because he doesn't think he can ask for anything more. He thinks this is all that can ever be provided. And he's right. So he asks for money. And he says, hey, have you got any silver or gold? And what do they turn around and say? No, we don't have any silver or gold. We don't have that. And here's what the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart, is that there are things in life, the bigger things in life, that it won't matter if you ever get to your dream job. It will never fulfill what that person wants. It will never fulfill it. Wouldn't matter if you're a teacher, a doctor, a scientist, a footballer, a movie star, a pop star, a dancer. You'll never satisfy what he needs in his heart. Not only does he need healing, but he needs salvation. But you'll never be able to provide that from the jobs that you've learned. It's never possible. But what he does have, and what they did have, was something greater. And what do they turn around and say? He says, but what we do have is Jesus. What we do have is Jesus. And I want to encourage you that even if you're not in the place that you want to be, or if you find yourself in the dream job, that it'll never truly be all that you need it to be for life's issues and for the problems that you're going to face and for the people that you're going to meet. And what are we called to? To love Jesus with our whole heart, mind and soul, everything that we've got, and to love everybody else as you love him. And so it won't matter how well qualified or underqualified we are, won't matter how good or bad the job is, won't matter how difficult it is during the day, what we really are after are the things of God. So God, what are you showing me? What are you training me? What are you equipping me with in this workplace, in this education? It is so much more than I've ever thought before. Guys, God is looking at us to lift our gaze a tiny bit higher because we have a difference to make. We're not limited by our job. It will never truly satisfy us or anybody else, but what we do have is Jesus, and what he's really calling us to do is to make a difference wherever we find ourselves, to make a difference. And as we do that, it will satisfy us on levels that we've never thought of before, that we've never seen of before, that we've never received before. Greater than money, greater than promotion, greater than title. When we share Jesus with someone and people's faith comes alive or their hearts gets changed or something takes place, a healing, a miracle, an encouragement, peace, it's transformational, which is far greater than anything else that we could offer and anything else that we can give. I'm so glad that day those guys didn't disqualify themselves by going, hey, we're not a doctor. We have no idea. We're not a physician. We're not this. We're not what you need. We're only simple fishermen trying to follow a Savior. They said, no, we don't have what you need, but we know somebody who does. And they give him Jesus. They give him Jesus, and his life was never the same again. Final verse, and then we're going to stand and pray. Colossians 3. Can we read this one? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. God is always prompting us. He is always reminding us that there are greater things ahead, that there's greater rewards. So you're yearning to get off minimum wage. Don't even worry about it. God is going to bless you in ways you've never seen or heard before. Your inheritance is secure. For you serve the Lord Jesus. This is so good. You serve him no matter where you are. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. God, just being so real this morning, just being so truthful with our hearts. Know this, you're working for something greater. You're working for Him. Set your sights on Him. Keep longing for Him. Keep searching after Him. Keep working for Him. God's reminding us that we're working for greater things, that maybe don't allow those lesser thoughts and actions to dominate our lives, and to know that we are called here and we are here to make a difference. Can we stand together? We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's just close your eyes just for a minute. Lord, I thank you this morning that in every situation, in every environment that we find ourselves, that, Lord, you're constantly doing something, you're constantly working something. Lord, I pray this morning that you would just continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever the challenges that we face, whatever the things that we are going through, the Lord, you would remind us of the hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that in those horrible situations that we're in, the workplaces, the environments that we don't want to be in, Lord, would you reveal to us greater purpose and greater plans? Lord, I pray this morning that maybe we're in a situation where we feel trapped and we feel stuck and we don't feel we've got any options to go here or to go there. I pray this morning, Lord, that we would realize that, God, you have purpose